VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, numbers continue to escalate of those who have suffered death or injury after receiving the COVID shots. Well, there's a new initiative that was just launched last week to provide a citizen's vaccine injury reporting system to carry out safety review of the COVID shots and to report their findings to the public. We're going to get into that and other related issues today. It's our privilege to welcome back Dr. Elizabeth Lee Vliet, who is president and CEO of Truth for Health Foundation. They're a nonprofit public charity. Since February of 2020, she's been a part of a team of frontline physicians treating COVID early at home. With Dr. Peter McCullough, she is a co-editor and author of the Guide to COVID Early Treatment, Options to Stay Out of Hospital and Save Your Life. Dr. Vliet is a 2014 Ellis Island Medal of Honor recipient for her national and international educational efforts in health, wellness, and endocrine aging in men and women. She is also a past director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. She received her MD degree and internship in internal medicine at Eastern Virginia Medical School and completed special training at Johns Hopkins. She's speaking with us today as an independent physician, not as a spokesperson for any healthcare system or pharmaceutical company or insurance plan or political party, but she is very much a patient advocate. And Dr. Vliet, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Thank you so much, Jim. It's a pleasure to be back on Crosstalk. Your global reach is powerfully important in the fight to save God's gift of life against the government intrusions on our body and our health and on the design of our body as God designed it. So I'm really honored to be on your platform and on your show.
Well, before we get into this vaccine injury reporting system, just late last week, there was an audio clip that has resurfaced of Dr. Anthony Fauci. This is from 2004, and he is arguing here that a person who has truly had the flu did not need the flu shot because having the best vaccination is getting infected yourself, he said, and the most potent vaccination is getting infected yourself. We're going to hear the clip, hear Dr. Fauci in his own words, and then we'll get your comment on this. Let's hear Dr. Fauci.
The vaccination, that's a very, very small minority of it, and unfortunately that appears to be the case with you.
But she's had the flu for 14 days. Should she get a flu shot?
Well, no. If she got the flu for 14 days, she's as protected as anybody can be because the best vaccination is to get infected yourself.
And if she really has the flu,
she definitely doesn't need a flu vaccine. If she really has the flu,
she should not get it again.
No, she doesn't need it because it's the most potent vaccination is getting infected yourself.
Dr. Vliet. An amazing quote there from Dr. Fauci.
Well, Dr. Fauci was saying what I just said, that God's design of our natural immunity is the best design and best protection of all.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, it's how we've always approached vaccination. We've always said in the entire history of the vaccination program, we have never recommended vaccinating people who've been infected with the illness, whether it was smallpox, chickenpox, or anything else, or the flu. As Fauci just said, in 2004, he was being honest with the public in his answer to that interview. In 2020, he had a different agenda and flagrantly contradicted himself and medical practice, and basic biology, basic immunology, and basic design of the human body when he said natural immunity didn't matter and that we needed the COVID shot. Well, if you look into the actual background, Anthony Fauci's name is on many of the patents related to the development of the experimental COVID shots. He earns royalties not only for his NIH agency, but for himself personally, based on the patent royalties. Now, that's not illegal. It is allowed under the government policies. But nevertheless, it's a conflict of interest that is pushing him to now tell the public false statements that the only way you can be protected from COVID is to get a COVID shot. That is flagrantly wrong, and he knows it, and that early interview proves that he knows it.
Yeah, and because he is totally contradicting himself now, and as you know, Dr. Vliet, there is a fourth shot now being given to certain individuals, and I understand that there are discussions of a fifth shot. I mean, why is there such a push for these when their data shows that their shots are losing their effectiveness after several months?
Well, there's clearly a push for continued boosters because it is control of the population. It is making money for the pharmaceutical companies, the patent holders, who include Anthony Fauci, the companies, NIH, CDC, all of the stakeholders hold patents on the components of these COVID shots. And they are all making many millions of dollars on continued giving the public boosters. Now, what they are not telling the public is this continued booster shot program is further weakening the human immune system because these are gene therapy agents. They are not traditional vaccines. They do not work like traditional vaccines. They do not provide sterilizing immunity. And these are designed with a lipid nanoparticle coating that takes the mRNA or DNA across the cell membrane so that the mRNA then directs our body's DNA to produce the synthetic spike protein, which has toxicity in the body. And that's been known for at least 20 years in the research they've been doing. So this is not new information, but it's what we're seeing causing all the damage with the COVID shots. And my point is that every time you get another booster, you actually, and we're seeing this in medical practice, which I am doing. I still have a medical practice. I'm still treating patients for COVID. I'm still treating patients for all kinds of medical problems, and I'm treating people with vaccine injuries and complications. And the people, each time they get a booster, the risk of adverse events increases dramatically. And that's shown in the VAERS system. It's shown in the military database. And even with all the flaws in the VAERS system, we see that happening. And doctors across the country and around the world are seeing it in their medical practice. So understand, continued booster shots is further damaging your own immune system, making you more susceptible to other infections, bacteria, viruses, and fungus, altering the way your body cancer surveillance system works. It is actually decreasing the effectiveness of your own body's God-given natural cancer surveillance pathways. These COVID shots turn off the P53 tumor suppressor gene that God gave us in the design of the human body that is one of our cancer surveillance mechanisms. If these COVID shots, as we know, are turning off that tumor suppressor gene, that means that people don't have an important part of the cancer surveillance our bodies were equipped with. And that's why we're seeing such a skyrocketing rise in new cancers that are very aggressive. And we're seeing a rise in recurrence of cancer patient malignancies that were in remission. So cancer patients who have cancers in remission suddenly, they're being told they have to get these shots, which is, in my opinion, not a good idea because it's better to treat COVID early than to risk the complications of the shot. But they're being told to get the shot, and then suddenly cancers that were in remission are skyrocketing out of control, and people are dying.
Dr. Elizabeth Lee Vliet with us today, President and CEO of Truth for Health Foundation. And Truth for Health, you've just launched a new vaccine injury reporting system, and we're going to have you tell us about this. But I'm kind of puzzled, Dr. Vliet. Isn't the CDC supposed to already be doing this?
Well, the CDC was supposed to be doing it, and they certainly have received billions of taxpayer money to do it. The problem is they have not done a good job. And 12 years ago, Harvard published a study of the CDC's VAERS system, 2010. And Harvard is obviously a reputable organization for medical research. And they found that the VAERS system was so difficult to use and so flawed that at best they estimated it was capturing about 1% of the adverse events associated with vaccines to 2010. Now, it's been in existence for close to 30 years, but in 2020, so 12 years ago, Harvard's analysis was they were only capturing about 1% of the adverse events. Well, obviously, that's the tip of the iceberg. In fact, it's kind of like the cherry on the top of the iceberg. And so nothing has been done to correct the flaws that the Harvard researchers found in 2010. And in fact, if you look at what it takes to file a vaccine injury report in today's VAERS system related to the COVID shots, they've actually made it more ominous, because on every page of the screens where you file a report, you actually are being warned that if this is a fraudulent complaint or this is a false claim, you are at risk of fines or being put in jail. So it's designed to make it difficult for people so that they don't file a report, discourages the reports. Doctors that I work with have all said it takes over an hour to file one of the complaints in the VAERS system per patient. Well, think about this for your listeners to realize that a busy practicing physician in a larger volume practice may have 30 or 40 patients a day. Let's say five of those or six of those had adverse events with the vaccine. That's another 5 or 6 hours of trying to get through the system at night, at home, when you're tired and you're trying to spend time with your family to try and get those reports filed. So the reality is that not many doctors are recognizing the connection with the vaccine injury. Those that are recognizing it are overloaded, and it's just almost physically impossible to keep up with filing the reports because they're so time intensive.
We're going
to
take
the reasons we decided to do something about it.
We'll tell you what, we're going to take a quick break here. And friends, we're going to come back to this issue here about a brand new citizens vaccine injury reporting system. Where is it located? Dr. Vliet will be telling us that information. And we're also going to review what VAERS is saying as far as adverse event reports. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, have any feathered dinosaurs been found?
Chris, this is a popular evolutionary story, but it's quite controversial. Some do seem to have a frayed neck fringe, but these are not feathers. Many experts consider them to be just the decayed remnants of dinosaur skin. Dinosaurs were evidently reptilian, very, very different from birds. It's not just the bones and the skin, but the organs and the physiology, the birthing schemes, and everything. You can't change one into another just by saying so. Biblically, reptiles didn't change into birds. Land animals were created on day 6 of creation week and birds on day 5, backwards from the evolutionary scenario. Birds have always been birds and reptiles have always been reptiles. And they've been that way ever since back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. We're discussing the Citizens Vaccine Injury Reporting System today, a brand new initiative from Truth for Health. Dr. Elizabeth Lee Valit with us today, who is its president and CEO. Dr. Valit, just earlier today, I was on the VAERS system, the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, and they indicate that through March of 25th of 2022, indicates that there have been more than 1.2 million adverse events reported, including 26,396 deaths. This is following the COVID shot, 145,781 hospitalizations, over 125,000 urgent care visits, over 185 doctor office visits, 9,533 anaphylaxis, 14,949 Bell's palsy cases, over 4,400 miscarriages, over 13,500 heart attacks, more than 37,500 myocarditis and pericarditis, and over nearly 49,000 permanently disabled. And the list goes on to other issues as well. But what I heard you say is that they're only capturing about 1% of the truly adverse events that have taken place. I mean, that's just staggering.
It is staggering, Jim, and this is what the public doesn't know, and no one is telling the public what these numbers are. You have to know where to go to look up what's going on with the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System in the CDC, and even if you know to go and look it up, you're getting about 1%. Even if you were getting 5% or 10%, and these numbers are representing 5 or 10%. It is still staggering in its implications. They shut down the swine flu vaccine because of 25 deaths in 1976.
Just 25.
I think that's the right year. But my point is, if we had 5 deaths with a new drug, normally that gets a black box warning. And 25 deaths in the swine flu program, they shut it down. You just said we had 26,396 deaths in VAERS at maybe 1 to best estimate, 10% of the total. That means we could be looking at orders of magnitude more deaths, mm-hmm. which is what the insurance companies are showing. Every major insurance carrier has reported increase in mortality of 40 to 60% in 2021 over the previous year, 2020, during the COVID pandemic. There's only one new event that took place in 2021 that comes anywhere close to accounting for that increase in deaths.
The COVID
shot.
And
that's the vaccine rollout.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So tell us about your system, the Citizens Vaccine Injury Reporting System.
Well, you know, I committed to the public in our press conference, and we are a public charity. We are supported totally by donors, our physicians, including myself and the scientists and the legal advisors, are all doing our services pro bono for the public charity. None of us are paid with donation money. Our livelihood comes from independent situations. Mine is my medical practice. Other people have their medical practice or their scientific research job or their legal practice. So I want to say that to the public. This is our money is being used to advocate for the public good. In addition to the vaccine injury system that we've just developed, we are doing legal defense grants to help support our military service members who have had their human rights and civil rights and medical freedom abused and persecuted and risking lives and livelihoods with the military vaccine mandates. But our system, I committed late last fall that the foundation would undertake a citizens vaccine reporting system and safety review. And it has taken us this time to get the technical aspects and the medical questionnaires the way we wanted them, and to to address the emerging information about the types of injuries and complications that were occurring. And we just launched the Citizens Vaccine Reporting System last week. And that is designed to be very user-friendly. People can actually fill out a report on their cell phone, and it takes about 15, no more than 20 minutes. If you know the information on the vaccines you've been given for COVID and you have all that information handy, probably take you 15 minutes, 10 or 15 minutes. If you have to go look up the information, it may take you a little longer. But the point is, one of our military advisors for the foundation was one of my test subjects, and he sent me a text message, and he said, "Dr. Valit, this system is great." He happens to be also a doctor who's also filed VAERS reports for patients, and he happens to be a military service member who himself was injured with neurologic complications of the COVID shot. So he has a legitimate personal report to file, and he had done reports for patients and for himself in VAERS. And he said, "I can't believe this. It took me 10 minutes on my mobile phone, and I did it in my truck while I was waiting to fill up my gas tank."
Wow. So when you say, and we're going to, folks, be ready to jot down a website where you can access this, but when you define or where you say vaccine injury, tell us what you mean. Does somebody need to have a near-death experience or near paralysis? When you talk about vaccine injury, describe that for us.
Well, actually, we're talking about these kinds of categories. Any changes in your health, any new or puzzling symptoms, and we have a huge list of things that we've been seeing in the medical practice, mine and other doctors. If you have had to suddenly, for unexplained reasons, start new medicines, or let's say you were healthy, you got the shot, and then a few months later, suddenly your doctor says, "Oh, now you have a thyroid problem, or now you have high blood pressure, or now you have diabetes." That is a vaccine potential injury. We want to know about it. If you have had a worsening of medical conditions, and we have a whole list of them, and you can then add anything else that's happened. If you have had the development of new medical conditions, and again, we have a whole list, and then we have a place where you can add if something else has happened new. We want to know if you had cancer and it was in remission and now it's come back. Remember, I said the vaccines affect your immune system. We want to know if you're having more infections than you used to have. If you have vision changes, if you suddenly your eyesight is not as good as it was, or you had blindness in one eye. I mean, we're having all kinds of people report changes with their eyes, especially. So we have a place where we have addressed symptoms in every organ system of the body. And if we forgot something, we have a place where you can add it if it's happened to you and it's not on the list. Then we want to know about your medications. And we have a way that we are going to be tracking this data. We have it set up to go to a secure server that is controlled by the foundation and only our technical team and our physician leadership to it, and our epidemiologists and scientists who will help us analyze the data as we get it. And then we will do reports to the public with what we are finding. And we will do vaccine safety reports to the public as CDC should be doing and is not doing. Truth for Health brings the public the information, medical information, research that the media should be doing and is not doing. We're doing the vaccine injury reporting that CDC is not doing correctly, and we are doing the reporting on the vaccine safety issues that we find from our data analysis that the CDC is not doing. And all of this is a citizens initiative by the public charity, supported totally by donations from the public. We get no government money, no pharmaceutical money, no money from any health system. We answer to nobody but the public, period. And in my medical practice, I've always said, I answer to God and I answer to my patients. I do not answer to insurance companies. And I resigned in my medical practice from all insurance contracts in 1986, and I have never advocated for anyone other than my patients for my whole career.
Hmm. Wow. So where can people across this nation go? A website, or is there a phone number? How can such a report be filed?
Oh, it's our website. And Jim, I'm excited to tell you that our volunteer team, we have a Chinese physician on our advisory council who translated our English report form into Chinese. Mm. We have it in English, Chinese, and Spanish, translated by a native Spanish speaker who is Chilean, and she comes to us from Chile, and she has done the Spanish version. As far as I know, we're the only organization in the world that has a vaccine injury reporting system for the public created by a citizens initiative, user-friendly, easy to use in English, Spanish, and Chinese.
Truth for Health.
On our website.
Yeah, truthforhealth.org. And when you go to the main page there, it'll be right there before your eyes. You'll see how to do that to truthforhealth.org. For such a report to be filed, do you anticipate, I mean, right now it's doctors or hospitals or healthcare workers that have to file their reports. Do you plan for doctors and hospitals to submit on your system, or is this something that is just going to be citizen-focused?
No, our report is for the public. Doctors are members of the public. Mm-hmm. They have a duty to help their patients. They probably could file it faster on our system than the CDC one. I think they should file, a physician or nurse should file it with the CDC so that there is the CDC record. But they can file the same report on our system in probably 15 minutes. So we would welcome their input. But this is designed for members of the public, the average person, to have access quickly, easily. Our website can be accessed on your mobile phone or your tablet or your computer, or you can go to the public library and access the computer there if you don't have a computer in your home. Fill out the report and click submit, and it goes into our secure database. And I want to clarify, our website is truthforhealth.org, not the number four. And that way people can go and have their report. Click on the scrolling banner at the top, file a vaccine injury report.
Friends, we're going to take a quick break. Again, that's Truth for Health, and four is spelled out, F-O-R, truthforhealth.org. Back in a minute here on Crosstalk with more amazing information. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Socialism has crept into the United States not by accident, but systematically and deliberately. In a March 2022 VCY rally, William Federer delivered a stirring 90-minute PowerPoint presentation, The Dangerous Slide Toward Socialism. Bill took a look back at the history of socialism and its impact around the world. He also read many of the socialist goals read into the congressional record in the 1960s and how these goals either have been or are being implemented today. Bill also provided a warning to America about the dangers of this socialistic pathway we are on. VCY is making available a DVD of this presentation that includes his PowerPoint for a donation of $15. See with your own eyes the quotes and the impact of socialism on a society. Audio CDs are available for a donation of $10. Call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829.
program is called Crosstalk. It comes your way each weekday at the same time on the VCY American Network. With us today is Dr. Elizabeth Lee Valete, who is president and CEO of Truth for Health Foundation, a nonprofit public charity. And they are all about patient advocacy and certainly that of truth in health, folks. That is something that we are seeing, the censorship that is taking place in social media sites and local newscasts, national newscasts as well. And they are there to get the truth out to you. They have just started this Citizens Vaccine Injury Reporting System that's available through their website, truthforhealth.org. Again, four is spelled out F-O-R, truthforhealth.org. Dr. Valete, I understand the story has just come out about the Biden administration cutting off more and more states, I think it's another 14 states, from receiving monoclonal antibodies. Could you comment on that at all? Are these something that's important for early treatment, or why is the Biden administration taking this step?
Well, I think it's part of the continued plan that has been orchestrated from the beginning of the COVID pandemic in 2020, where the goal has been to push people into the box canyon of vaccine only as an option. They have cut off hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, over-the-counter supplements like N-acetylcysteine. They have devalued and blocked the use of corticosteroids, which have been a hallmark of treatment of early viral and bacterial pneumonias, and cutting off the monoclonal antibodies are another way of restricting effective treatment for early COVID illness that keeps people out of the hospital and keeps them from dying. And the tragedy of this, by cutting off the monoclonal antibodies along with all the other interference with effective early treatment medicines, it's costing lives, because we know from the clinical data in the clinical trials of all of the COVID vaccine manufacturers that the COVID shots don't keep people from getting infected, they don't reduce hospitalizations, and they don't reduce deaths. I mean, how many people listening to this program today can look around at friends and family who got this COVID shot and then got COVID? Clearly, they are not keeping people from getting sick. And if you talk to the boots on the ground, doctors and nurses in hospitals, most of the patients, over 60% of the patients in the hospital with COVID now, are people who are fully vaccinated. And we just had an epidemic of fully vaccinated people in the UK being hospitalized critically ill. So I think this is unconscionable, and I would go so far as to say it's criminal, it's a crime against humanity, when you are making a government decision to restrict early treatment of an illness that can cause death, and you are restricting early treatment after the government launched the monoclonal antibody development program, paid for with taxpayer dollars, and now this sinister and diabolical move to prevent people from getting a taxpayer-paid-for early treatment accessible in another 14 states on a political grounds. Jim, this is unconscionable. We have not seen this type of attack on humanity by our own government in my lifetime.
You know, it really is amazing and shocking, and people's ears ought to be perking up. And if not at what you've said so far, even as what we're about to report as well from the Epoch Times last week, carried a story about the World Health Organization proposing a new pandemic treaty that are, well, they're in hopes of enough member countries signing onto this by 2024. They're going to be having a vote at the World Health Assembly in 2023. But some of the elements of this treaty are to give the World Health Organization the power to mandate vaccine passports, the power to mandate COVID shots worldwide, the power to mandate lockdowns wherever they would deem that lockdown should be occurring. I understand digital identity is also part of this. Talking about striking at the heart of our national sovereignty, Dr. Valete, it's all encompassed in this from the World Health Organization.
Well, You're correct, Jim, but what most listeners may not know is that this regulatory takeover of sovereignty in a pandemic by the World Health Organization was actually signed into the International Health Regulatory Agreement in 2005 that had 196 countries signing on to it. And that was explained by international attorney Todd Callender in an interview that he and I did for my own radio show several months ago. And that framework in 2005 on the International Health Regulatory Agreement, your listeners can look it up, was the framework that the World Health Organization used in 2020, in March of 2020, when Tedros announced the global pandemic officially as a pronouncement by the World Health Organization, that launched the 2005 International Health Regulatory Agreement that meant the World Health Organization took control of the public health response in every country that signed it, 196 of them. That is why we had so much lockstep response from countries around the world, which people couldn't figure out in the first part of 2020. Nobody could understand why the talking points in the press and the public health response was identical in every country in the world, regardless of what their risk of COVID was. And that's why, because the legal framework was already put in place. What they're now talking about actually sounds to me like they're trying to cover up the fact that this was already done 15, 17 years ago.
Or expand upon it.
Or expand upon it with the digital passport that would control every movement you make. Not only would it control travel from one place to another, in Chile, for example, I mean, we have people from Chile on one of our advisory boards for the foundation. And in Chile already, they have mandated that you can't go more than 50 kilometers from your home unless you're vaccinated. Are you kidding? I mean, when in the world has a free country restricted its citizens from going more than 50 kilometers from their home if they don't have an experimental shot? I tell you, people better wake up and look at the reality of what's coming. If the public doesn't push back in civil disobedience
and you know,
under the rule of law, then we lose all our freedom.
I mean, we saw this in so many fronts. I mean, we closed down the churches, yet the businesses across the street serving food, they can stay open. Or some of the restaurants, we say, well, you have to close at 8 o'clock. You cannot be open past 8. Does the virus come out at 8:01 p.m.? I don't know. But, friends, these these are the issues that are going on, this element of control. Let me open our phone lines. Our number to Crosstalk here, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. And I see another aspect of this treaty, Doctor, that's been released here through this article, is that it would also give the World Health Organization the power to censor health information worldwide. I mean, we ain't seen nothing yet.
Yes. And not only that, but we're already seeing it in a number of countries. They are restricting people from grocery shopping if they're not vaccinated. And I'm telling you, this is coming if people don't stand up. And from a Christian perspective, Jim, you and I can look at this as, is this the mark of the beast that Revelation talks about?
Yeah. You know, it's amazing, folks, where this is going. And keep in mind, the advisor to the Secretary General is also talking about surveillance under the skin, surveillance. So we know temperature, we know blood pressure, we know this. And we played the clips last Friday here on Crosstalk and how we've been able to surveil where you go, what you buy, what, you know, shop. But now he said we need to have the surveillance under the skin. Let's go to our phone lines. We've got Ann calling in from Shorewood, Wisconsin. Ann, thank you for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I just have a question. My sister, who is 78, took the two-step shot in the 2021 January and February, and in March she was diagnosed with ravaging cancer. She was working before she took the shots in a hospital as a housekeeper, and we buried our sister February 23rd of this year in a terrible battle with cancer. And she was healthy before this, but if I were to report her daughter and son-in-law, or her only, she only has one, to report this to the Citizens Vaccine Reporting, they wouldn't allow me to do it because they're on board and in favor of these vaccines. Is there any way that I could do it anyway? Or?
Well, yes. If you have the information, you file the report based on the information you have. You're a citizen. You have a right to report what happened to her, regardless of whether anyone else agrees with you or not.
They may not allow you through VAERS, but you can through this new Citizens Vaccine Injury Reporting System that's available at truthforhealth.org, F-O-R.
Well, thank you very much, because my sister didn't have to die that way, and it was because of that vaccine. But thank you very much. I appreciate
all
that
you
do. I am
so sorry for your loss, and this just breaks my heart that people were not informed of these risks. We knew, and we were warning, but we had a small voice against the censorship. We knew that these experimental gene therapy shots turned off the tumor suppressor genes, and we knew this was a risk, but our voices were censored.
Yeah.
I call us the crusade of the voiceless, and we are silent no more. So please sign up for our alerts. Your sister did not die in vain if you join our crusade and help us get this word out. And if you will reach out to us, info@truthforhealth.org, we would like to help tell your sister's story, and you can help do that and be her voice now.
Thank you, Ann. Appreciate the call. Mike is next. Go ahead, Mike. You're on the air.
Yes, I have gotten the first three Pfizer vaccines, and I'm just wondering, is there anything that I can do to reverse that or to squelch the things that are going on since?
Okay, thank you, Mike.
Good question, Mike. Yes, number one, you can go to our website, truthforhealth.org, and under the vaccine injury resources, we have a list of laboratory studies that you can request from your doctor, or you can go online and order yourself. These are the studies I'm doing in my own patients to identify the inflammatory and other markers that are changing as adverse effects of the vaccine. So get tested, number one. Number two, within a few more days, we're working frantically to get this ready, we will have a vaccine injury treatment guide that lists supplements, dietary strategies to reduce inflammation and blood clot risk, supplements that reduce inflammation and blood clot risk and reduce the oxidative stress, and we have medications, and we have a whole roadmap to how you can get treatment for any vaccine complication.
You said that's coming in a few days from now?
Yes, should be up by next week.
Okay, very good, Mike. Thank you for the call. We're up against a break. We've got one more segment here that will be taking your phone call. Stay with us. Dr. Elizabeth Lee Valide, our guest, president and CEO of Truth for Health Foundation, truthforhealth.org. Back in a minute.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Recently, Todd Benzman was on my broadcast. He's the author of the book, America's Covert Border War, subtitled The Untold Story of the Nation's Battle to Prevent Jihadist Infiltration. Todd came on my broadcast more than 2 weeks ago and warned, well before the national media even picked up on it, that Title 42 was about to be canceled. This was a Trump administration policy that kept illegal immigrants out of the United States due to COVID. May 23rd, it's set to be canceled. And now even the Biden regime's own DHS is admitting this will bring 18,000 illegals over our border a day who get instant, well, sanctuary right here in the U.S. At 18,000 a day, that's about 540,000 a month. We could easily see 5-6 million in our country before the end of the year. This is a massive national security threat. I'm Brandon House.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Again, our guest today is Dr. Elizabeth Lee Valete, President and CEO of Truth for Health Foundation. And friends, we're going right back to the phone lines here. And let's go to Birmingham, England. We have Robert calling. Hi, Robert. You're on the air.
Hi. Good afternoon to you, folks. Just very quickly, I'm now looking at the reporting website and putting a few other things. But the one thing that I've experienced from having had one shot of the AstraZeneca here in Britain January 15 months ago, and then with my wife having had a second shot last summer, is an abnormal fatigue. And for 3 days after getting that shot last January, February, border time, I experienced that, and it didn't feel like normal lack of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But now, since my wife's had it, I think I've suffered transfer from her, and had her second shot, that is. And I do find now that I need more sleep than I could manage on quite happily 18 months ago.
Hmm.
You know, that is very common, and that's worthy of filing a report. One of the factors that contributes to that is micro blood clotting, and you can actually assess that risk by looking at that laboratory list that we've posted on our website. The D-dimer and fibrinogen, for example, are markers that indicate that your body may be making micro blood clots that can affect the lungs and interfere with your oxygenation, which contributes to fatigue. So,
yeah.
And micro blood clots can
occur elsewhere in the body. I do find that an occasional aspirin helps perk me up.
An occasional aspirin perks you up?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Robert, thank you for the call.
You might want to get some of the tests done, and aspirin is something that I'm recommending for my patients, if you're not allergic to it, as a way of reducing the risk of micro blood clots.
Hmm. Robert, thanks for the call. Jim is our next caller. Hi, Jim, you're on the air.
Hi. There's so many things I could talk about regarding this topic, but I noticed the guest mentioned losing our national sovereignty if these vaccine passports get enacted, and with hundreds of thousands of foreign nationals flooding over our borders, that's a danger to our sovereignty as well. And from what I understand, they're not being required to get these shots. Is that correct?
That is correct. They are welcome with open arms without the vaccination if you're illegal. And if you are a legal traveler from another country, the Biden administration has said you have to be vaccinated. It is unconscionable what's happening. And I live in a border state, and I know exactly what's going on. We are literally being flooded with people carrying diseases, people that have bad intent, people that have criminal backgrounds, and people that have terrorist backgrounds. It is staggering. We are being flooded. It's an invasion in the U.S.
Hmm. Jim, thank you for the call. We've got Ed next in Spencer, Tennessee. Ed, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. I'm reading the book by Robert Kennedy that shows the atrocities that committed by Fauci and Bill Gates. Do you think this will create a groundswell and bring these two guys to justice and commit them to whatever, prison or execution or whatever?
Well, I certainly hope so. I think Robert Kennedy did an extraordinary job in researching his book. And Dr. Peter Bregan, who has written COVID-19 and the Global Predators, We Are the Prey, has researched the material from a different perspective, and it all comes together with the same conclusion. And we do need to have a groundswell of pushback and demanding that our officials take action and hold these people accountable for the damage they've caused. I absolutely support that. And we are working through the legal channels in the courts to do just that.
Ed,
so our foundation is supporting those legal initiatives.
We appreciate the call. You'll find more on their legal initiatives through their website as well. Donna in Kentucky, you're on the air. Hello, Donna.
Oh, hello.
You're on the air.
Hello,
yes.
Donna.
I was calling about my nephew. He's in his early 40s, and he took the COVID shot. I hate to call them vaccines. He did not take the booster, but he started to run a temperature and be really tired. And this went on for several months, going to the ER and all that. Well, they finally noticed that he had a lymph node that was swollen. And they thought he had lymphoma. And he just had surgery a couple of weeks ago. And they removed it, and they said, no, there was no sign of cancer. And he's still tired. He's losing weight. He's eating but losing weight. And the doctors at the hospital just told him that it was a mystery. Hmm. And I think the mystery is where he took the COVID.
Donna, I think you should take a look at that list of laboratory studies on our website and look at the medical records and see what's been done, what hasn't been done. And these are tests that you can request, or you may even be able to order them independently with one of the self-service laboratory services on the web, and then file a report with us, and we will have our vaccine injury treatment guide available. Literally, we are writing it and wrapping it up now to have it ready for next week. And so we will have approaches that people can look into with their own health professionals in your community. So please do that. There is help available for these problems. Even if the doctors right now are saying it's a mystery, if you do the right testing, you can usually get to the bottom of the mystery.
Look at truthforhealth.org. We're going to try and squeeze in Shayla from Des Moines, Iowa. You're on the air.
Yeah, I was just wondering, what steps could we take to, push back, as, regular people that don't really have a big voice? What could we do to help?
Great question, Dr. Vliet. We're 30 seconds away from the end. Go ahead.
Excellent. Read our website, file a criminal complaint. The citizens can do that on their own without a lawyer. Look at the legal resources that we list. There are surety bond steps that can be taken in your local community. We won't have time to explain it today, but that's a local initiative that people can do to remove public officials that are not answering to the needs of the public. That's discussed. We've got podcasts on all of this that explain how to do it. And so sign up for our alerts and become part of our crusade, and we'll be sharing more information as we go along.
And the other thing is share the information with others. So what you've learned on the program today, share with others. The more people that get informed on these issues, the more pushback that takes place. Thanks for the call. Dr. Vliet, truthforhealth.org, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Jim. Keep up the great work, and God bless all of you and your listeners.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.